And we're continuing our study this morning in the book of Corinthians. So I want to invite you to turn to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to be reading here a split passage here because the chapter is so long. I'm going to break it up into three parts, but I'm going to read the entirety of the scriptures here this morning. Before I do that, I want us to understand that we're going to be speaking and learning today about gifts. And many of us, you receive gifts from your own family. Many of you have inherited things. You have inherited traits. You have characteristics from your family. And of course, we only want to focus on those good traits and those good characteristics. But, you know, many of us have been given gifts, and sometimes you've been given natural talents or natural abilities as a gift. Well, those are physical gifts. So today we're going to be speaking about spiritual gifts, specifically that we've been giving through our relationship and faith in Christ. So when we speak today about a spiritual gift, what is a spiritual gift? Well, a spiritual gift is an expression of the Holy Spirit in your life as a believer to empower you to serve the body of Christ, the church. It is a gift that each of you have been given through your faith in Christ. Each and every one of you have been given a spiritual gift. So today we're going to be looking at those spiritual gifts. So I'm going to read here from this particular passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4, beginning in verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. Now I want to turn your attention now to verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Verse 24, which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, but that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, as we began this study, we understand that the Corinthian church was a church that was very much divided. Right? We looked in the very beginning of it, and there were people saying, well, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas. And there was this spiritual elitism going on. There was much division in a church. This was a church that was very much struggling. It was new in a pagan Greco-Roman world. It was, succumbed to what a lot of people today, the pressures and that we experience in the outside forces of this world, and even in the demonic forces of this world, as a church, they plague us oftentimes. And so this was a church that was experiencing much division, much strife. And so here he's bringing this unity together here, and he's wanting to show everyone that he's like, there needs to be unity together. But I want you to recognize that you have these spiritual gifts, and that these spiritual gifts need to be connected. And so the Corinthian church, although it was divided, Paul pointed out that God wanted to use those distinct spiritual gifts that God had given them. And so today, for us as believers, we also must understand that each of us have also been given spiritual gifts by God for the common good of the church and for His kingdom and for His glory. So that's really what was going on in Corinth then, and that's really what is supposed to happen today for us in the church. So, you know, it's almost as if many of you, you know, Christmas time when you have gifts under the Christmas tree and maybe the kids have come over or the grandkids or the great-grandkids had come over. You know that how big a celebration that is, and you know, some of you think about those times when you went out and you bought all those gifts and you wrapped all those gifts and you put them under the tree. Imagine if your children or your grandchildren opened those gifts, and as they opened it, they found, wow, maybe it was a football or a soccer ball, or maybe it was a model airplane, or maybe it was a computer, right? And so they received all these gifts. What if your kids or your grandkids or your great-grandkids on Christmas Day, they open all those gifts and they see it and they acknowledge it and they just simply say, thank you. Put it aside. Imagine, if you will, now that God has given you spiritual gifts and we take these gifts and we say, thank you. And we set it aside, and as if sometimes when we might be needed, you know, in the body of Christ, whether it's in church or the body of Christ universal, to use those gifts, and we simply just say, thank you, and set it aside. And I say that almost as a way to begin us to think about the spiritual gifts God has given each of us, and He has given each of us. The problem sometimes is that we see the diversity in ourselves or in others, and we might say, well, I'm not like so-and-so, or I don't have the gift of that. And that's not a problem. God has given each of you a spiritual gift for a specific reason, and we're going to see that here this morning. The first thing I want us to see here in verse 4 in chapter 12 is that the Scripture says, verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, varieties of service, varieties of activities. When we speak about gifts, the word there is, for the Greek word is charisma. You know, some of you may have heard, it was a term that sometimes people used to speak about somebody who was very outgoing, and they would say, you have charisma, or he has charisma, or the mayor has charisma, is a sense. You know, it was very, something about him that was a presence. Well, charisma is actually, it is something that has been given to you. In the meaning of the gift here, it's a divine gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't practice for it. You didn't work for it. And you don't deserve it. Because that's what a gift is. And so he says here that we have been given a variety of gifts. You know, if you look at all the gifts that we have here in the church, you know, it's not like we get put into this melting pot. You know what I mean by like a stew? Sometimes if you put, I don't like casseroles, okay? I don't like food that's all mishmashed together like that because I can't taste it. It's like it's all together. Folks, we're not a melting pot. What we are is we're more like a salad bowl. You know, where you can actually taste the texture of something. You can taste something that's sweet, something that's maybe sour, something that's maybe crunchy, or maybe something that's soft. Why? Because we have that distinctiveness in our spiritual gifts. And so Paul says here that we have been given these diverse gifts. We've been given diverse service or ministries. We've been given these varieties of activities also. Why is that important for us to realize the distinction and the diversity of that? Anyone have a set of keys? Keychain? Y'all got any keys? Anybody got some keys? Look at your keys for a minute. Okay, thank you. All right. So, if you have a set of keys on a keychain, what do you have? Well, you've got keys that for different things, right? One key opens a house. One key opens a car. Maybe one key for the office. They're all distinct. But some keys are not always appear as distinct, do they? Some keys look the same. Some keys are the same size or the same shape. But if you put them in the same lock, two different keys, they won't work the same way, will they? They're unique. They're different. Why? Because they've all been crafted from the master key. We are, in essence, have been given a variety of gifts for a variety of ministries, for a variety of activities. When you put that key in the lock, if you have two keys that are identical, but they're different keys that have been cut differently, only one's going to work. And so the variety of gifts that each of us have been given, we're not to look at each other and say, well, I don't have his charisma or her charisma, or she's really good with people, or this person has a talent to teach, or this person has a talent to serve, or has a gift in this. The purpose is that I'm looking at a room full of keys that all have been cut from the master key of God. We all have these spiritual gifts, all of us. And so let's look at some of those spiritual gifts. Let's turn to verse 7 here now. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, For verse 8, for to one is given to the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, or the message of wisdom, not wisdom of the world. Paul said the wisdom of the world is foolishness, look with me also in 1 Corinthians 1:18. And Paul said, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So there's the wisdom of the world, but there's the wisdom of the cross. So for many of us, we've been given the message of wisdom. We've been given the message of knowledge, meaning knowledge of God through direct revelation. Many of us have been given the gift of faith, not saving faith, but the kind of faith is in a mustard seed. You know what I mean? You know some people that have just amazing faith, that no matter what's happening in their life, I got the doctor's report. Oh, I got the phone call from my family member. Oh, I got this in the mail today. But no matter what happens, they have this amazing gift of faith in their life that is powerful, that is unshakable. Jesus talked about it almost in the sense in Matthew 17:20. What did he say? He spoke about the mustard seed when he was asked about, well, how much faith do you really need? How much faith does it take? And he said in Matthew 17:20, he gave him the illustration. Jesus said, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed. You know what a mustard seed is? You know how big a mustard seed is? It's tiny. It is one of the smallest seeds in the world. He says, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. There are many people that have been given the spiritual gift of faith that moves mountains. They're able to just say to the mountain to move, and it moves. Many of us have been given also the spiritual gifts of healing. Now, he says that both in the plural, both gifts and healings are the same. But sometimes these gifts of healing either come through a divine appointment or divine touch, or also through medicine. But we've all been given all these gifts. The gift of prophecy. Some have the gift of prophecy. Who are the prophets in this room? People want to say, thus saith the Lord. Any prophets in this room this morning? Prophet, not necessarily foretelling as the Old Testaments did, but forthtelling, often asking for a response, or actually maybe calling out people to repentance too, as the prophets did, and as prophets do. But also to build up the church. And he says here in this particular part here in spiritual gifts, he continues to list these. Gifts of healing by one Spirit, verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Now, I can't really list or go on too much because of time about tongues, but Paul lists these things, and you know, there are biblical scholars today that say these things just don't exist today in the church. They existed then, but they do not exist now. I disagree with that, and I believe that the scriptures are here and they are pertinent to all of us here in the church today. And I have seen the gift of tongues for people. Now, what we think about is that there are certain denominations that believe that those gifts of tongues has to be a direct proportion to your faith. But in chapter 14, Paul goes on and speaks quite extensively about tongues that says, first of all, that there are those that has gift of tongues. And Paul said, I've been given the gift of tongues, and I wish you had the gift of tongues. But the gift of tongues is to not just speak about yourself, but to build up the church and to be done into an orderly fashion and in a way that continues to encourage and to build up the church. And there has to be someone to interpret that. So while these are all gifts, they do exist and they exist today. And it says here in verse 11, all these are empowered by the same Spirit. He lists here five times here in this particular portion in this passage here, all about what's happening. It is the same Spirit, the same God, the same Lord. Why? Because these gifts aren't something that you just develop. They aren't just something that you just craft, that you go to a weekend seminar. These are things that have been given to you. But we are to find out, and we're also to work on these gifts, also to see. In fact, I'm gonna speak about a handout that if you want me to give to you, I can either email it to you or I can send copies to you. And actually, I'd like to kind of do a class one evening or one afternoon or one day about spiritual gifts for us for this class. Because what's happening is that, you know, as you have been involved in the church, that you have given levels of service. And sometimes what happens is you're asked to be invited into something you're just encouraging, you're great with kids. Well, you should be in the children's ministry. And then what happens is you get in there and it's like, it's terrible. It's not your gift. So each of you are a key that's supposed to fit in a specific thing. Now that's not a license for us to say, well, that's not for me. That's not my spiritual gift. It might not be your spiritual gift. Prison ministry might not be your spiritual gift. Sports ministry might be your spiritual gift. But we're to find where our spiritual gifts are specifically and to use those, because we're that Christmas gift, you know, that what gets open, that God wants to continue to use us. So the Paul mentions here, and he says in these scriptures, he says the Holy Spirit is mentioned five times. Now, why is he saying that's so important? Look with me also at the beginning. He says, it is for the common good in verse 8. The common good. We in our spiritual walk and the gifts that each of us have been given are to understand that, you know, we can say, well, I'm a great encourager, or I'm a great worker, or I'm a great teacher or whatever. No. It's for the common good of the church. And that's the purpose of these spiritual gifts that each of us have been given. And spiritual gifts are intentional. Look with me here now. I'm trying to move along as quickly as I can this morning. Look at verse 11. All these are what?
The work of one.
That's right. Empowered by one. The same Spirit who apportions it to one. What does it say?
Distributes them to each one just as he determines.
Right. As he determines. Each one. So what happens sometimes in our spiritual gifts that we've been given is that when someone wants to identify our spiritual gifts, they might not be our spiritual gifts. And we need to find out what our spiritual gifts are. And we need to be praying about that too. And so he says here is that they've been assigned to us individually. You know, it's not the fact that, you know, there's some men that are better in cooking than women. There's some women that are better in fixing things than men. Okay? And my point is that sometimes it doesn't have to be a gender, or because someone is younger or someone is older, we tend to think that they're better at something. But the Spirit appoints things individually. because he sees often what we do not see, and others, and especially ourselves. But it's for the common good. So all these particular gifts that we've been given are for God's purpose and for the building of his church. And he says here now, look, in verse 21, I want to turn your attention for just a moment. And hopefully, let's just keep this together in the classroom today, all right? Now, who is this? Mr. Potato Head. All right. I've never operated or used a Mr. Potato Head, so I'm not very good with it here. I know, right?
You're doing a great job.
Okay. Poor Mr. Potato Head. The eye cannot say to the hand, verse 21, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So, what if we took the eyes and put it in the ear, put the ear, and we should really probably put it for the mouth. God says he gave you two ears and one mouth. And we put a hand and we put it. Okay. Pretty dysfunctional Mr. Potato Head. What is this a picture of?
Chaos.
This is a picture of different parts doing different things that they were never intended to do. And when you do that, how functional is that? Not so good. Or what would Dr. Phil say? How's that working out for you? Not so good. But when we take all the parts and the spiritual gifts that God has given us and we begin to put them back and we begin to find out where they are, we find that actually it is pretty functional. He's missing an arm. That's okay. And that's what happens when the spiritual gifts come together. It becomes very, very, not just functional. It's the keys that God has given us. It's the gifts that he has given all of us in our lives. And he said, but what happens is here, and I want us to look at something here. In verse 23, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Verse 24, which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. You know, sometimes, and that's another important part of identifying your spiritual gifts, because we need to make sure that, you know, there's sometimes a thing that seem insignificant to us in areas of ministries and activities. You might be at a car show, working in the back of the lot, or you might, on a Sunday, you might be working in the parking lot, or you might be an usher, and it might seem insignificant, or whatever role, whatever it is, that might not be in the forefront of others. Or a ministry that you're involved in here, outside the confines of this church property and building that people don't know about. The little things, those are all important because all those parts begin to come together and all of us in the body of Christ. And he says here too, in closing here, he says that there may be no division in the body, because that's what was being experienced in the church of Corinth. Clearly, you'll see division a lot in these passages in the book of Corinthians. There was division. People were doing what they wanted to do. There was strife and there was disagreement and following different people. And his message here is that when these come together, that the church is unified. And that's for the body of Christ. I want to tell you an illustration here and kind of in closing here this morning. Imagine, if you will, a carpenter's shop. You know, in a carpenter shop, you have many tools, right? You have maybe a saw or a hammer or screwdrivers or various tools. Well, someone imagine that a carpenter's tools were holding a conference. Brother Hammer presided. Several suggested that Brother Hammer leave the meeting because he was too noisy. Replied Brother Hammer, "If I have to leave this shop, Brother Screwdriver must go also." You see, you have to turn Brother Screwdriver over and over and over again to get him to accomplish anything. Brother Screwdriver then spoke up and he said, "Well, if you wish, I'll leave again and again. If you want me to leave, I'll leave, but Brother Plain must leave also, because you see, Brother Plain, all his work is on the surface, and his efforts have no depth." To this, Brother Plain responded, "Well, Brother Rule will also have to withdraw, for he is always measuring folks as though he were the only one who was right." Brother Rule then complained against Brother Sandpaper, and he said, "Well, you ought to leave too, because you're so rough and always rubbing every people the wrong way." And in the midst of this discussion, in walked the carpenter of Nazareth. He had arrived to start his day's work, put on his apron, and he went to the bench to make a pulpit from which to proclaim the gospel. And he employed the hammer, the screwdriver, the plane, the ruler, the sandpaper, and all the other tools. And after the work was done, when the pulpit was finished, Brother Saw arose and remarked, "Brethren, I observe that all of us are workers together with the Lord." Amen. When all the pieces come together, when all your gifts come together, when all your gifts are united, we can accomplish the proclamation of the gospel, the building up of the church, the encouraging of the church, the gifts that we've been given, gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy. And all these gifts, God wants us to discover these, because God has given all of us as believers to empower His work for His glory, for His kingdom. And that's what we understand. And when that happens, when we're unified, we're a glorious church waiting for Christ when He returns. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the gifts that You have given all of us. Lord, I praise You for in Your mercy and in Your grace, Lord, that You give us these things, Father. And I thank You, Lord, for this message that You have allowed us to understand, that You want us to be those gifts, not wrapped up and set aside, but used for Your glory and for Your purpose to be unified. Help us, Father, also to work hard to discover our spiritual gifts, Lord. And in the process, Lord, in Your grace, would You continue to reveal that to us, to utilize the gifts that You have given us for Your kingdom, wherever we are in our lives, Father, wherever we are, wherever we live, whatever age we are, whatever status we might be, Lord, help us reveal those gifts to us, Lord, and continue by Your Spirit to empower us for Your glory for these gifts. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.